January 12th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, the U.S. intelligence chief tells President-elect Donald Trump that the intelligence community did not create the controversial Russia document. We look at the security situation in Afghanistan as the U.S. confirms an airstrike killed 33 Afghan civilians in Kunduz, and singer-songwriter Ed Sheeran releases two new singles. It's all ahead. U.S. Director of National Intelligence James Clapper told President-elect Donald Trump the intelligence community did not create a document claiming Russia compiled information in an attempt to compromise Trump. Earlier this week, the BuzzFeed digital media site posted online what it said was a full report, which alleges tawdry personal Trump conduct on a visit to Moscow. It also says Russia's government had been cultivating, supporting, and assisting Trump for years. Clapper said in a statement Wednesday that he told the president-elect the intelligence community has not made any judgment that the information is reliable, and that he emphasized to Trump that he does not believe it was leaked to the media by intelligence sources. I spoke with VOA reporter Ken Brademeyer about the tension between Mr. Trump and the intelligence community.
He's off to a rocky start with them. He obviously hasn't been inaugurated yet. That comes in 8 days. But he has denigrated reports early that Russia had intervened and meddled in the election in trying to get Trump elected. He did acknowledge, Trump did concede at his press conference yesterday, that he thinks Russia indeed did meddle in the election. And at one point said Russian President Vladimir Putin shouldn't have done it. He also said he certainly would be tougher than Hillary Clinton would have been if she had been elected.
Well, meanwhile, there has been this report of compromising material that was found. Trump at the news conference yesterday, you know, denied. He said that he denounced that. He said it was phony and this was like fake news. On the other hand, this is all happening. The timing of this, as you said, we're coming up to the inauguration, is certainly very unfortunate.
It certainly is, and it creates questions as to just how Donald Trump will deal with Vladimir Putin and Russia when he does take office. We just don't know. And certainly Donald Trump has said he wants to have better relations with Moscow. Whether that in fact actually happens, we're only going to find out. Russia the other day said that as soon as Trump is inaugurated, and that comes Friday the 20th, the two countries hope to figure out a time when Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin can get together.
And it should be noted that the Kremlin also denounced that report of compromising information about Trump.
Everybody has denied the allegations in there of tawdry personal behavior by Trump when he was in Moscow, and also alleging that his business organization had regular contacts with figures in Russia over the years. These allegations have been floating around Washington, we now know, for several months, and certainly news organizations tried to verify it and have not corroborated it. So I think that's pretty much where it stands at this point. Somewhat wild allegations, and nobody saying that these are true.
Although there was a lot of concern during the campaign about Trump's possible links to Russia, and some of his advisors, like Paul Manafort, of the connections they have to Moscow.
Certainly, these allegations are still out there, and Manafort was dumped from the Trump campaign largely because of his connections to the Kremlin. Whether the Trump contacts in Russia will have any bearing in the months and years of Trump's presidency, it's just uncertain at this point. This is one of those times when this will play out, but it's not going to play out overnight.
That's VOA's Ken Bredemeier. Well, joining me is social media editor Doug Bernard with a look at what's trending. So, Doug, what's going on?
Well, hi. Good afternoon, Sarah. So yesterday when we spoke, we were talking about a hashtag that was trending, one of two that were trending both yesterday and today. Yesterday, it was hashtag Obama farewell, where people were leaving comments and observations, generally speaking, mostly, sort of fondly thanking Mr. Obama, remembering back to what they saw as some of his accomplishments. Well, the hashtag that was also trending yesterday, but is still going strong today, I guess I might say it's trending bigly, is hashtag Trump press conference. Of course, yesterday, the president-elect held his first news conference since winning the election in November. It was, as our colleague Jim Malone described it, somewhat messy. But, you know, there was news that came out of it. Well, I'm just going to read several of the thousands and thousands of tweets that people are sharing using this hashtag Trump press conference. Mimi Zelman has this to say: these two, referring to Mr. Trump and Rex Tillerson, his nominee to be Secretary of State, these two are both Putin's puppets, and one should be hashtag un-POTUS, the other denied a cabinet position. Here's a comment from someone calling themselves Lone Star South: what a glorious day. The left is having a complete meltdown, almost as good as election night. And here's one, let's see, hashtag, again, Trump press conference. And they write, actual quote, I have no conflict situation because I am president. Donald Trump thinks he's a dictator. So it's a real mishmash of those who are supporting Mr. Trump and his at times aggressive, perhaps, certainly assertive posture toward U.S. media, and others just, you know, kind of decrying Mr. Trump's performance as in some ways un-American. So it's a real mishmash, but it's generating still a lot of discussion.
Yeah, he certainly generates a lot of strong opinions.
He does, and also shares them on Twitter, so perhaps it's only fitting, I suppose.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks very much, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories trending. Civilians in Mosul, Iraq, sift through rubble as the coalition takes fiercely held neighborhoods. The EPA accuses Fiat Chrysler of cheating on emission standards. President-elect Donald Trump's Defense Department nominee James Mattis says the global balance of power is threatened, and the U.S. Senate starts its effort to repeal President Obama's health care reforms. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
You're probably familiar with extrasolar or exoplanets, planets found beyond our own solar system. But now, thanks to NASA's Hubble Space Telescope, scientists detected exocomets. Comets that are located outside of the solar system, plummeting into a young star called HD 172 555. The star is about 95 light years from Earth and is thought to be about 23 million years old. These recent observations of exocomets mark the third time these objects have been spotted in star systems beyond our own. The two previous occasions where they were detected also happened to be in solar systems that are less than 40 million years old. While the exocomets have not been seen directly, they were spotted after Hubble detected gas scientists think is probably the vaporized remains of their icy nuclei. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we hear one of the new songs by singer Ed Sheeran. A new U.S. government report paints a bleak picture of the security situation in Afghanistan. 2 years after the end of the NATO combat role, John Sopko, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, said Wednesday, the South Asian country remains crippled by rampant corruption and a security force incapable of mounting offensive operations against the Taliban insurgency.
So the best spin the Afghan security forces can put on their activities in 2016 is that they were able to retake strategic areas that had temporarily been lost to the Taliban. So what we're doing is we're defining success by the absence of failure. At a minimum, they're playing defense and are not taking the fight to the Taliban.
Sopko told the Centers for Strategic and International Studies in Washington the 320,000-strong security force, while showing great bravery, actually lost territory in 2016. He also said despite the positive efforts of President Ashraf Ghani and Chief Executive Abdullah Abdullah, corruption remains one of the most serious threats to the country's reconstruction efforts. Sopko said it is another foreign policy challenge facing the incoming Donald Trump administration, where the U.S. has spent close to $1 trillion since 2002. International Edition's Victor Beatty spoke with RAND Corporation's South Asia analyst Jonah Blank about the report.
I think that this is more of a political problem than a purely military problem. Afghanistan has been plagued by corruption and poor governance ever since the period before the Soviet invasion. But particularly of note right now is the fact that even after all of the hundreds of billions of dollars that have been poured in, the international community and Afghanistan have not succeeded in establishing truly good governance and effective non-corrupt leadership of the military, despite the best efforts of President Ashraf Ghani.
Is corruption going to swallow up all the gains made over the past 15 years?
Well, hopefully not all of them. And for a bit of perspective, let's remember, the Taliban has been able to keep the government of Afghanistan from consolidating its control. But the Taliban has not yet been able to take and hold a single large city or provincial capital, despite its strong efforts to try. It's been able to hold Kunduz for 2 weeks, and that's its high watermark. So Afghanistan has achieved a great deal, but people are quite right to ask whether this is really a trillion-dollar effect.
Do we have any indication what the incoming Trump administration will do with regard to Afghanistan?
Very little. During the campaign, neither candidate spoke about Afghanistan very much, and Donald Trump spoke about Afghanistan virtually not at all.
An expert at the Centers for Strategic and International Studies, Anthony Cordesman, said that it is more than possible that Afghan forces will be locked in a war of attrition with no clear end, that 2017 could be the beginning of a major defeat for them.
That seems entirely possible. We've been in a state of stalemate for most of the past 15 years. And there's really nothing on the horizon that suggests this stalemate will end.
Meanwhile, a U.S. military investigation concluded Thursday that 33 Afghan civilians were killed and nearly 30 wounded in November in a firefight between U.S. and Afghan special forces and Taliban insurgents in northern Kunduz province. It said the Taliban used civilian homes as firing positions. U.S. Commander General John Nicholson expressed his deep regret at the loss of innocent lives. Thousands of migrants in Southeast Europe are at risk of dying as extreme cold weather sweeps across the region, according to aid agencies. Temperatures in the Balkan states have dropped to minus 20 degrees Celsius this week, and many stranded asylum seekers are sleeping out in tents or makeshift shelters. Henry Ridgewell reports.
As the extreme weather grips Southeast Europe, thousands of migrants are sleeping in empty warehouses or abandoned buildings that provide shelter from the driving snow. But even inside, the temperatures are well below freezing. Asylum seeker Mohammed Yusuf Navid says it is so cold he finds it impossible to sleep.
I haven't seen this kind of place in my dreams. The situation is too much bad and the weather is too much cold.
The Serbian government has urged all migrants to move to official camps, but aid groups say they are full. Charity Doctors Without Borders says many migrants have already died from the cold. The group's head of mission in Serbia, Stefan Wasang, told VOA via Skype they are treating a wide range of health problems.
Respiratory infection. We have an outbreak of scabies and body lice. And in addition to that, for the new arrivals who cross the border through Bulgaria mainly, we have in the last days several cases of frostbite.
About 100 migrants a day continue to arrive in Serbia, despite Hungary's efforts to cut off the Balkan route by constructing border fences along the shared frontier. Many come from Greece, where tens of thousands of migrants remain stranded. Facing international criticism over conditions in the camps, authorities have moved hundreds of migrants into empty hotel rooms under a UN-sponsored program. A Navy ship docked Wednesday at Lesbos Island to house 500 migrants during the cold weather. Aid agencies have criticized the European Union for failing to help the stranded migrants. Speaking Wednesday in Malta, Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker called for member states to implement the EU relocation plan.
The problem of refugees cannot be left to Greece, to Italy, to Malta. It is a European problem, and we need a European response of solidarity.
Meanwhile, Germany reported a sharp fall in the number of asylum seekers entering in 2016 to 280,000 people, compared with 890,000 the previous year. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
This is International Edition. A British singer-songwriter has just released two singles. Border Crossing's host Larry London joins me to tell us about these new songs.
Today's discussion is Ed Sheeran, who is a British singer-songwriter. He's great at doing both of those things. He's a talented singer. His hit Thinking Out Loud won him two Grammys a few years back. He's coming back now with a brand new album. He surprised everyone with two new songs on the internet on Friday, and that's kind of the subject of today's segment on International Edition. Shape of You and Castle on the Hill are the two new singles, which have just set a brand new Spotify download record, even topping One Direction. So Ed Sheeran came out with the new songs, and each one has been downloaded within 24 hours 6 million times. And this is Friday within that 24-hour span. So 12 million downloads for the two songs total. Since that time, of course, there's been many more downloads, and they continue even as we speak. But Shape of You was a song that Ed wrote, he said, with Rihanna in mind. That's kind of who he was thinking about when he put the song together. And he decided to sing it himself. I like it. It's a kind of a happy, upbeat, catchy tune in a very Ed Sheeran sound and style. So let's check it out. Singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for
somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. And the other song?
The other song is called Castle on the Hill. And he said that he wrote that song about his hometown, Suffolk, England. And he said that he shot the music video for the song in Suffolk. And the cast in the video are former high school students who went to school with him. In fact, he said, there's a guy who looks just like me in the video. Weirdly enough, he's a classmate of mine from sixth grade. So very interesting. The album, which is called Divide, kind of strange. You know, Ed's had an interesting set of titles for his albums over the years. He's released two others. This is his third album. The first one was Plus Sign. The second one in 2014 was Multiply. And now this one is a Divide, a division symbol, Divide. And so it is coming out. It's expected out at the end of June, the album itself. But during the course of the next few months, Ed is going to become more and more visible. He's expected to perform on the Brit Awards show in February and make an appearance at the Grammys and Glastonbury Music Festival. He's going to perform there. So you're going to see a lot more Ed Sheeran before he actually releases his album, then goes out on tour. The new album, as I mentioned, features John Mayer, who plays guitar on a couple of tracks. And it's been about 10 months since Ed's been on social media, but he's back. And his very first tweet was just a divide symbol.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So to let everybody know, and he wrote underneath the caption, done. So he kind of, you know, was teasing everybody, and now we all know more information.
And why release two singles at once?
Ah, that's an interesting question, Sarah. A lot of artists are doing that. They think that it gives the opportunity for more mileage, because if you release one and people like it, great. If you release one and they don't like it, there's another one out there. And with what goes on these days with songs and albums leaking on the internet, an artist's way to kind of preempt that is just put a bunch of music out. And if people want to own that song so they can put it on their tablet or their iPad or iPhone or whatever, then they have to pay for it, because you can't download it unless you pay through Spotify or iTunes or wherever people download music.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, and Ed Sheeran owns his own record label, which is called Gingerbread Man, because he has red hair. Uh-huh. One of the few artists with red hair himself. And he's written songs for Rudimental. He wrote several for One Direction, some of their biggest hits. He wrote a couple songs for Harry Styles of One Direction, who'll be coming out with some new music this year. He wrote for his best friend, Taylor Swift. And so he writes for everybody. They're all asking him to write because he's such a talented songwriter and a talented singer. I like Ed Sheeran, and he's one to watch in 2017.
Thanks a lot, Larry. That is Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body.
And that is the music of Ed Sheeran. And that is our show for today. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States condemns in the strongest possible terms the recent horrific vehicular attack by a terrorist in Jerusalem. 4 soldiers were killed, including 1 U.S. citizen, and 17 wounded when a flatbed truck driven by an Arab terrorist rammed into a group of soldiers adjacent to the Arman Hanatziv promenade in southeastern Jerusalem on January 8th. 3 female soldiers and 1 male soldier were declared dead at the scene. According to the Israeli Defense Forces, an additional 2 cadets were seriously wounded, and 15 other officers and cadets sustained less severe wounds. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who visited the scene with Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman shortly after the attack, said the identity of the terrorist was known. Later, he was identified as Fadi al-Qanbar from a nearby Jerusalem neighborhood. We are fighting this plague and will defeat it. We will overcome this terrorism just as we overcame other attacks, said Prime Minister Netanyahu. Speaking to reporters following the attack, Jerusalem Mayor Nir Barkat said, "To our dismay, there is no limit to the cruelty of the terrorists, who are willing to use any means possible to murder Jews and to damage the routine of life in Israel's capital. There is absolutely no justification for these brutal and senseless attacks," said U.S. Deputy State Department spokesperson Mark Toner. "We condemn the glorification of terrorism now or at any time, and call on all to send a clear message that terrorism must never be tolerated. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of the four Israeli soldiers who were killed.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.